Hello, I'm Rosemary Martirana, Director of Intelligence here at the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness, NJOHSP, and you're listening to Intelligence Unclassified. This podcast is exactly what the title states, unclassified information about current trends in homeland security for the state of New Jersey, as well as educational information and resources for your awareness. Although it is produced every month, we aim to stay on top of current events and will often offer additional content. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. Please feel free to add this podcast to your RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow NJOHSP on Twitter at NJOHSP and Facebook. All links can be found in the show note and on our website, www.njohsp.gov.
Hello, this is Patrick Mayer from the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness, and today I'm here with the director of NJOHSP, Dr. Chris Rodriguez. Dr. Rodriguez was appointed by Governor Chris Christie to serve on his cabinet as Director of Homeland Security in July 2014. Prior to his appointment, Dr. Rodriguez served for more than a decade in the U.S. intelligence community, where he held a variety of analytic and management positions. In these roles, Dr. Rodriguez monitored terrorist groups in the Middle East and South Asia, closely collaborating with partners at the federal, state, and local levels to identify and counter persistent threats to the United States and its allies. Dr. Rodriguez has been recognized with several awards from the Director of National Intelligence for his leadership and professional achievements both in the United States and abroad. He also served in Iraq in 2006 and 2007 and has traveled to over 24 countries. Director Rodriguez, I'd like to start by asking you why this podcast is called Intelligence Unclassified. When most people hear the word intelligence in this context, they may relate it to satellites, spies in foreign countries, or even James Bond. What can you tell us about the reasoning behind this title?
Thanks, Pat. First, I'd like to say it's a pleasure to be here to kick off this new podcast, which will provide the public with relevant, unclassified information about current trends in homeland security in New Jersey as well as around the United States. Calling this podcast Intelligence Unclassified comes from just that. You know, the terrorist landscape around the world is much more decentralized and diffuse than it has ever been, requiring a high level of public education and involvement. And we hope this podcast will both inform the public and spur a renewed vigilance in the face of these new threats. We need the public's help more than ever because law enforcement cannot counter these threats alone.
You've been director at NJOHSP for roughly 18 months now. What is your philosophy on the role a state-level agency should play in the larger homeland security mission?
New Jersey faces a complex and diverse security environment with real, pervasive, and evolving threats. In this context, my office remains focused on our three core mission areas: counterterrorism, cybersecurity, and resiliency. But none of these mission areas can be tackled in a vacuum. In order to be successful, we must work with our private and public sector partners at all levels. At NJOHSP, we are committed to an intelligence-centric approach that applies the highest standards of analytic tradecraft and targeted outreach. Intelligence analysis, in my view, is of little value if it resides in institutional silos. So, OHSP will continue to maintain and strengthen liaison relationships with local, county, state, and federal partners. Doing so will ensure that we maximize the state's limited resources and connect the ever-growing array of intelligence dots while prioritizing citizens' privacy and civil liberties. Now, when I speak about counterterrorism, I'm also talking about the threat landscape that is hidden from us. Over the last year, I have prioritized the integration of our physical security mission with our cybersecurity mission. Our philosophy is informed by the reality that the physical and virtual worlds are becoming increasingly interconnected and interdependent. As such, cybersecurity spans our entire organization, from training and exercise to critical infrastructure protection. The efforts I've described in achieving our counterterrorism and cybersecurity missions comes back to the goal, which is to make New Jersey more resilient in the face of challenges and unknown threats. This applies to all of our public and private institutions, as well as to the public at large. We must be well educated, better prepared, and ready to react. My office and our partners continue to hold trainings, workshops, and educational sessions at schools, businesses, and in communities to promote awareness and to keep the public informed.
Not many people know about what threats New Jersey faces on a daily basis. What makes New Jersey unique in terms of homeland security?
Well, here in New Jersey, we have perhaps the largest population density and concentration of critical infrastructure in the country. For example, the northern New Jersey and New York metro area has about 20 million people living in it. Now, from my office's standpoint, we see this as a long-term issue. As a state, we are trying to transition from physical security to physical and virtual security. Since I was appointed as the governor's Homeland Security Advisor, my office has been focused on having the resources, the plans, and the expertise in place which will give us the ability to detect, deter, and respond to threats.
You mentioned earlier that the terrorist landscape around the world has changed, being much more decentralized and diffuse than it has ever been. With events like the attacks in Paris, San Bernardino, and Burkina Faso, what is different about the landscape, and when do we start seeing this transition?
As I mentioned previously, the terrorist threat has become much more decentralized and diffuse in the post-9/11 era, making it more difficult for law enforcement to detect and deter attacks. Look at what we've seen in Paris and San Bernardino. This year saw a dramatic rise in multi-operative, small-scale attacks on civilian soft targets, all with little to no warning. A troubling trend we are seeing, in addition, is individuals pulling from different ideologies to justify violence. They are not any more or less dangerous than a homegrown violent extremist, but it's very and increasingly hard for law enforcement and Homeland Security officials to categorize these individuals who pull from these different ideologies as falling within a particular group or mindset. Groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda are also adapting new technologies and methods to reach the public and recruit new members. They use encrypted platforms and apps, most of which are free online, to dramatically hide their communications from law enforcement. These encrypted platforms make it nearly impossible for Homeland Security professionals to monitor terrorist communications for clues of an impending attack. Social media has proven instrumental for terrorist groups, serving as a platform to spread propaganda and recruit individuals across the globe. ISIS has changed the game with its use of technology and smartphone apps, for example, and it can now reach a wide demographic.
With that being said, what would you say is the number one threat to the state of New Jersey, and how does this particular threat connect to those across the country and around the world?
HVEs will remain New Jersey's most likely and persistent threat over the next year. They are individuals inspired by foreign terrorist organizations and radicalized in the countries in which they were born, raised, or reside. In 2015, there were 5 HVE arrests in New Jersey. And they are also very difficult to identify because their behavior is often not immediately or consistently observable to law enforcement and Homeland Security professionals. They often act with little to no warning. Given this threat, OHSP sees the public as often our first line of defense. So we believe it's critical that parents, friends, and individuals recognize and report changes in an individual's behavior, which could often be indicative of future violence. Now, the National Counterterrorism Center studied 57 HVE cases in the United States from 2009 to 2012 and found that in nearly all cases, family and friends noticed suspicious behavior but downplayed their observations, did not question the behavior, and did not share their concerns with proper authorities. In 2015 alone, there were over 70 cases of HVEs in the United States, and this shows how dramatic the shift has been in the methods of attacks by terrorist organizations. Looking specifically at ISIS, the group has been distinguishable among other extremist organizations for its ability to capitalize on social media, especially Twitter, which makes it, again, more difficult for us to detect whether an HVE is becoming radicalized.
What is NGOHSP and its partners doing to prepare for these new threats you're describing?
So we work very closely with federal, state, and local partners to monitor terrorist threats in New Jersey, across the country, and of course overseas. We're constantly coordinating and sharing information. I'll give you a couple examples. At the end of last year, 2015, my office hosted a Homeland Security Advisors Conference in Princeton, where top security officials and my counterparts from New York, Pennsylvania, Maryland, and Delaware, we all met to brief each other on local threats and to come up with ways to share intelligence. This effort grew upon the MOU that was signed between Governors Christie and Cuomo back in October of 2014 to share intelligence and coordinate on counterterrorism. And since that time, New Jersey and New York in particular have greatly enhanced interagency coordination and preparedness for terrorism response. We also continue to provide valuable information and awareness to the public and to our other private and public sector partners through our websites, njohsp.gov and cyber.nj.gov. We include weekly bulletins, one-page publications on specific topics, monthly webinars ranging from cybersecurity to protecting religious facilities, and now a podcast, which will give us a new avenue to bring in additional audiences. You can sign up for these resources on the homepages on both websites to get all the announcements from my office on a regular basis.
Lastly, what thoughts would you like to leave our listeners with?
What I wanted to leave our listeners with is the importance of reporting suspicious activity. Given this new threat landscape that we're seeing in our country, in our state, and across the world, it is now more important than ever for the public to report suspicious activity, and if they see something, they need to say something. They can do that through our website. They can do that by emailing tips@njhomelandsecurity.gov or by simply calling 211. I would say that this is the biggest takeaway from this podcast. Thank you very much.
Director Rodriguez, thank you for giving us some insight in what we are going to be seeing during this podcast future, and we look forward to speaking with you again down the road.
Again, all links can be found in the show notes and on our website at www.njohsp.gov. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe to Intelligence Unclassified.